So I go to this event and I have my gym hoodie and my gym sweatpants, and everybody else was in suits, right? And you can cut the judgment with a knife. I walk in the door and you can see all the up and down looks, right? By the end of that meeting, every single person asked me for my contact info. Every single one. So it's like, again, with the whole judging a book by its colors, like one thing my dad said about race, he said, people will always see the color of your skin. He said, it's up to you to help them see past it.
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. New episode, new review to highlight, and this is a 5-star review from Dr. Nick Sotelo TUL via Apple Podcasts, and they left a 5-star review titled, "This is a great show." If you're headed south but headed in the wrong direction, try the Going North Podcast. I've taken in several episodes and I've really appreciated what I've experienced. Thanks a bunch, Dr. Nick Sotelo TUL, for checking out what we have to offer here on Going North and leaving a review of what you like about the show. And if you too like something about the podcast, let us know by leaving a review and we'll be able to highlight it during a future episode. Now let's get on with today's episode. And today on the Highlight Reel, Builder for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special, awesome human for it today, my friends. That's right, indeed, because you're going to be in for a treat that's good enough to eat 5 times over, indeed, because in the words of one of my favorite video game characters of all time, Big Smoke, it's time to return the favor, baby, because today's wonderful guest is a bookcaster, y'all. So not only has he joined the wonderful business of immortality by publishing a book, and let alone his wonderful first book, he's also a fellow podcast host as well as the wonderful Shut Up and Grind podcast, indeed. My man's been killing the game. My man's probably got, shoot, probably 300 episodes minimum of that freaking podcast. My man be killing it. And on top of that, my man is also a wonderful father as well as an entrepreneur, award-winning international speaker, and a mental health advocate. So let's give it up for the man's going to have you shouting for bananas and making you going bananas, the fabulous Robert B. Foster. How you doing today, Rob?
I forgot how funny you are. I'm doing great, thank you. As you go, I'm like, this dude is just spitting right now. Oh, I love it.
I mean, B. Foster couldn't help not make a Bananas Foster reference. I'm like, hey, he's a motivational speaker, makes folks go bananas. It's perfect.
And Bananas Foster is a great dessert, so.
Sir, that right, folks. You're not only getting motivated, he's going to give you the metaphorical dessert, y'all.
Metaphorical dessert. Oh, God.
But hey, they just about dessert. We didn't even get to the appetizer, man. So my goodness, as with all introductions, they're not allowed to be 75.5 days long, and it probably only covered, I don't know, metaphorically 7 minutes, so makes Rob the radio Rob that he is. So mind filling in any cavities, and I became the magical man that you are today, my man.
I'm not sure I understood all that. I think that was a fancy way of you saying for me to tell you about myself.
Oh, there you go. See, there you go. Don't even need Google Translate. He's got it, babe. By George, he's got it.
I got it. Oh, man. Well, it's like, so the journey begins as we go all the way back to my childhood. So I'm the youngest of 7 siblings, and they were all athletes. But for whatever reason, I was late to develop. So, like, both of my brothers were big, strong, muscles. And even my older sister, same thing. She was pretty tall, very athletic. And they were killing their respective sports. And here I was as a freshman in high school at 5'4" and 88 pounds. So I was like, wait a second. I was like, what happened here? I'm like, why am I the scrawny, skinny, lanky kid? So, but the biggest thing that drove me was I was always so-and-so's little brother. So I had that chip on my shoulder. So I'm like, my name is Rob. My name is Robert. It's like, I'm not Monique's little brother. I'm not Ralph's little brother and Ramona's little brother. Because that's what it was for like a solid decade. And yeah. I just wanted to make a name for myself. And like seeing there. And now don't get me wrong. Like, I don't have any animosity towards my siblings. I love my siblings. I just wanted my shine like they were getting their shine. And so it drove me. And I was working. I was trying so hard. Like my mom used to have a set of weights down here in the basement. And I started, it was just little 10-pound weights, but I just started training myself. I didn't know what I was doing, but I just knew I needed to do something. Then I started getting good, but then in the summer between my sophomore and my junior year, I grew like 6 inches. So finally, my size caught up. I was still skinny. Like I think I was like maybe 135 pounds when I graduated as a senior. But my athletic ability finally caught up, and then I was able to carve a name for myself. So at my core, if you strip away all the things that I do, I'm a competitor. So like whenever people ask me to describe myself, that's what it, everything that I do in my life, I see it as a challenge. I mean, like there's lots of things in my story that I can talk about, from being told I'd never run a jump again, from watching my father pass away. Just last year, I literally lost everything and moved back home with my mom. You know what I mean? So like, I've been through stuff, but I look at all that stuff as a challenge through the lens as a competitor.
Hey, amen to that, man. Because you got to compete. Shoot, you got to compete freaking every day, man. It's like, yeah. Especially with being an entrepreneur on top of everything else, man. Because it's like, shoot. And a family full of athletes, both mom and dad. Being athletes and you being the youngest of seven and all six of your oldest siblings are athletes too. It's like, well, no fat allowed in this house, buddy. Unless it's PHAT. I got to do something, buddy.
Thanks, you know, and it's one of those things where you can either shrink or you can elevate. And anytime I speak on anyone's platform, I always start with that. Because like on my show, as you know, you've been on multiple times, I always ask people to describe themselves. And they always give me their resume. Like, well, I'm a leader, I'm a speaker, I'm an influencer, I'm a this, I'm a that, I'm a mom. I'm like, but before all of that, you were still you, right? Before all of that. So you take away all of those hats, what's left? And for me, it was that level of competition. I remember my brother, second oldest brother, he used to always walk around with his records on a t-shirt. And I had my own little like my own little notepad. And I wrote those records down. Right? I'm like, I'm gonna smash everything that he did. Everything. And again, and there wasn't any animosity towards him. It was just me as a competitor. Like, you know what? You got the shine now, but I'm coming. And that's how I look at everything that I do in life. So no matter what the challenge is, again, just going back to last year and like literally walking away from my fitness business. It's like when I first met you, remember I was talking all about fitness and my gym and my clients. Like I walked away from all of that. And that was one of the toughest decisions I ever had to make. But where I am now is one of those things where you look back, that had to happen. Like that had to happen to get me right here where I am, for me to be able to publish the book. Like I had to go through that. And what people don't understand, when things happen to them, you can't focus on the happen to part. It's what you're gonna do about it.
My man dropping that heat, baby. That's right indeed. It's right indeed. You're either going to shrink or elevate. Shoot, man, you better elevate, dang gummit. Better go north than this mofo. That's right indeed. Freaking love it, man. And it's like, hey, it ain't about the what happened to. It's about, hey, what you going to do about it? Because so true. Because life's gonna hit you. It could be a left hook, could be a right hook, could be one of those Mike Tyson shovel hooks, and it's like, well, ER, I'm going there.
That's so funny.
So my goodness, man, you finally crossed the wonderful finish line with your wonderful first book, Shut Up and Grind, Help Folks Conquer Their Freaking Fears of Public Speaking, man. Like, wouldn't surprise you to make that the wonderful main focus of the first of many Robert B. Foster books to come.
Well, I got into leadership at the age of 15. So there was a small diner local here. Like, I'm in Charlestown, Rhode Island, which is just a small town, rural, you know, people very friendly. But there was a small diner in town that I started working at. And the guy taught me how to cook. You know, he taught me leadership skills and all that. And so I got myself to the point at a young age where he would leave me in charge. So I learned leadership skills, and I learned how to inspire others. Like, we only had a handful of employees, but I was able to learn to lead them. And so from there, I got into a busier restaurant where I was given, you know, again, I climbed up the ranks pretty quickly, because my thing is, like, age doesn't matter to me. Like, yes, at the time I was 17 years old working with a bunch of 30-year-olds, but I was like, they're not going to outwork me. It's like, I know that's a kind of played out phrase, but it matters. It matters. It's like, I'm going to make it undeniable that if they're going to look for a shift supervisor, it's going to be me. Like, and I'm not going to lose out just because I'm young. Like, I'm not going to do it. So I became a shift supervisor at 17. I became a general manager at 19. And talk about the feathers that were ruffled because of that, right? Right? Just think of so many people were mad, right? And like, and when people talk about opportunities for people of color, right? I was the only brown-skinned person in that place. And oh. I flew right up the ranks, because my performance was undeniable. It was absolutely undeniable. And again, it goes back to that lens of me being a competitor. So what inspired me to write the book is so many people doubt themselves, right? Mm-hmm. So many people doubt themselves. And where this became evident was in 2020, because I joined a mastermind group called the Be Seen on TV. And so I joined that mastermind, and everybody would take turns going through and introducing themselves. And so many people couldn't do it.
Oh, wow.
It's like, I'm like, how do you have a $1 million business and you can't even describe what you do? Like, this one person rambled on for like 4 or 5 minutes. And I'm like, I don't even know what you do. After all of that, right? After all of that, you can't, like, I don't even understand what you do. So how this concept came up was I started inboxing people. And I was like, hey, I can help you out with that intro if you want. You know, like, I can help you out with that intro if you want. And then the more I started getting on Zoom calls with people, I was like, I'm onto something here. It's like, people, if I ask someone to talk about their business, they can do it. But when I say, who are you? They have no idea. They have absolutely no idea. So this book isn't just a, hey, grab my book and read it kind of book. There's 13 worksheets built into this book. And as you see, this book's not very big. So this book is less about me and it's more about the reader. So you're going to go through these 13 basically modules, and we're going to unpack everything that you've ever been through in your life. Because in life, you have to master your stories, like whether you're interviewing, right? Because like I'm actually pitching to start a college tour, because I want to go through it. I want to talk to college juniors and seniors, because they're going to have to interview. And when you interview, you have to master your life stories. That's how you're going to make yourself stand out from everyone else. So when I did this, this wasn't about just me. And the next book is going to be titled From My Mother's Basement. Because, you know, there's a stigma, but a grown man living with his mom. Yeah, but I'm here building an empire.
There you go.
You know what I mean? It's like I had to humble myself to come here. I mean, and I'm useful to her too. So it's not like I'm just sitting here just chilling. Right? It's like when I tell you I am busting tail, you know, I contribute to the household bills. I help with maintaining the yard and, you know, just doing things to be an asset here. So it's like, it's not like I'm sitting here freeloading. So like when I talk about it, it's not from any place of shame whatsoever. Like, why would I be ashamed of living with a woman that gave me life? You know what I mean? Like, I don't have any issues with that whatsoever. But like I said, the thing is, it's not about the circumstance. It's about what you do with the circumstance. So it's like, I'm back in the gym again. I'm managing a gym. I'm coaching track and field. I work a summer job on the weekends. I did my book. I'm speaking on podcasts. I'm hosting 2 podcasts. Like, I'm making stuff happen here, right? So anybody can look sideways about me living at home all they want to, because in 10 years from now, I'm going to have so much content to leave behind that's going to inspire so many people.
Yes, indeed, baby. Brick by brick and stone by stone. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. You can say, yeah, man, like, there's so much going on. And heck, like, there's, like, so many things to unpack because you dropped so many jewels, man, because it's, like, so true, especially with that next book. I'm looking forward to, like, diving into that one and reading that one, man, because, yeah, like, in today's society, man, you really got to truly grind at what you do. And especially, I'm sure it's other parts of the world too. I know in Japan, a lot of elders too, but like a lot of our parents, depending on what generation you're from, they're aging, and some of them, they may come with Alzheimer's, dementia, or some other like ailment. And it's like sometimes, and especially in your case, since you lost your father, sadly, wow, I can't believe almost 6 years ago now, 2019, which is crazy to think about nowadays. And it's like, hey, some days your mom may be longing for company, and you being there to help her out, like, that's freaking huge, man, because like, hey, that's definitely huge for her. She probably secretly really enjoying having your company and you just out there still working hard and busting your tail to really not only help out around the house, but also build yourself back up and not just stay on the couch and go like, woe is me, circumstances showed up, and then I turned the circumstance into a couch that I'm gonna just turn into a turtle shell of failure, and I'm going to just lay in and maybe get some Cheetos and forget the working out and age even faster. Like, nah, man, you're actually doing some work here.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and like I said, so many people do that because they get stuck on the what. You know, they're stuck on the what. Like, this book shows you how to get to the how, right? Like, I tell people when they tell me that they fear public speaking, it's like, no, you don't. You just haven't mastered your life stories. Mm. Right? Like if you judge me based on my knowledge of neuroscience, I'll be the dumbest guy in the room. Right? But when it comes to storytelling, yes, I am an expert in this field. And people will say, oh, well, what qualifies you to be an expert? Because it's my life. I know my life. I know what I've been through. And the stories that I tell, it's not something I learned from a book. And I'm not knocking education. But these are things I went through. Like, I went through divorce. Like, I watched my father pass away. I watched it. I watched him take his last breath. I watched the color leave his face. You know what I mean? I've been fired after 21 years of never being fired and dealing with that reality and having to get on the welfare system. I've lived that. You know, it's like, these aren't things I read about or I heard about or somebody else told me about. These are things I've been through. Like, I've lost everything. I dropped my keys on the desk and walked away from my clients. Clients that I've had for 10 plus years in some cases. Wow. But I knew that I was heading down a path that didn't serve me. And it was like I said, it was one of the toughest decisions to make. And I'm fighting back tears now just talking about it. Right, because it was tough to tell people who trust you, who believed in you, who paid you, who followed you to different locations for all of these years that, guys, I'm not coming back. But I had to because my life was crumbling. Like I said, it wasn't even crumbling, it crumbled. Right? At that point, it had already crumbled. And I was like, I have to do this to take care of me. And they were so supportive. And a lot of them are with me now at my new gym. But to make that decision, it was like, I can't stay in this situation any longer. It's like the only thing that would have hit further rock bottom was if I got locked up. You know, that just would have been the icing on the cake if I was sitting in a jail cell. That's how low I hit.
Hey, my man's going back up, man, and going on tour soon. And a couple of other points I remember that you brought up earlier, like, hey, that college tour, like, especially, like, freaking, what, juniors and seniors in college or those who are in their penultimate semester, like, I'm sure you've even seen this article yourself with the stories about how a lot of Gen Z and below, like, coming out of college, bringing their freaking parents on the job interview, during the job interview, to, like, help them through the whole darn experience. And it's like, dude, like, you're helping folks to really develop that skill of public speaking, because, like, when it comes to you being on a job, especially, it's really about you and your performance, man. No one cares about who your parents are or whatever, man. So, like, that's really, really important, man, and glad you're doing that, because folks definitely need it, man. And plus, the mastermind on top of that you brought up earlier, like, there's a cost of admission, but it sounds like you made it back on day one.
Absolutely. So, you know what it is the beauty of storytelling is that once you take the focus off of the what happened, we're going to realize pain is pain. It's like we always want to compare the what. It's like, oh, well, I'm going through this. Oh, well, I'm going through that. Oh, well, I can top that. I'm going through this. Like, but we're all in pain, right? And once you understand that, like, my mom just had her last radiation treatment for breast cancer. So it's like she had to get up every single day and go and get radiation treatment and then deal with the after effects of it. And life doesn't stop for anyone. It's like you still have stuff to do. She still had to do her errands. She runs a kitchen on Wednesdays and Sundays. She still had to get down there and put that work in. And again, going back to my knee injury, it's like, yeah, people have knee surgery every day, right? But my doctor looked me in my eye and told me I was never going to run or jump again. And I chose to not accept that. Like, that's not happening. So, like, the pain that my mother was going through, the pain that I went through, like, every day we had to wake up and take steps to get through the day, right? A woman that's 9 months pregnant, same thing. She has to wake up and deal with swollen feet, a hurt back, a baby sitting on her bladder, being uncomfortable, right? It's like pain is pain. When you lose someone, right, when you lose someone, you can't unlose them. So you want to step into what they left behind, as I stated earlier. So, like, when my dad passed, yeah, I had that man for 45 years. Like, I've interviewed people on my podcast who never knew their father. So instead of leaning into what was lost, focused on the future, when it comes to grief and death, you got to focus on the past. Like, what did he leave behind? Like, do I have it over here? Yeah, like, I have a picture of him. Right here. There's pictures of him with my siblings. Right here. Right? There are poems that he wrote. There's videos online of him dancing with his beer. You know, right? it's like you lean into those moments, those life lessons that he gave me. Him quitting a job to come to New Hampshire to watch my track meet. You know, it's like there's so many things to hold on to. It's like, yes, I wish he was here in his physical person, but at some point, we are all going to die, every single one of us. So, like, the quicker you can come to acceptance in that moment of grief, lean into the gratitude of what was left behind. And this could be at any age. Like, I worked with a woman whose brother passed away. I think he was in his 30s. I think 30s or 40s, you know, but that's still pretty young. But I was like, but you got a 40-year sample size of stuff that he left behind. I was like, lean into that. You can't focus on, oh, he's gone too soon. It's like he was gone when he was supposed to go. Now lean into what he left behind. I know I just unpacked a whole lot right there.
Hey, man, powerful stuff, man. Lean into what they left behind, man. And that actually kind of reminds me of when I forgot who wrote the Ford for your book, but one of my favorite lines I highlighted from it is that you're an ordinary man with an extraordinary imagination. And like this whole freaking conversation so far proves it, because my man's been dropping gems like he's a jewelry store manager, man. It's like, shoot. So there we go. That was Robert. Let's see. R said banana. So that was Robert Brown Foster. Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
You see, like, on the show that I was on earlier, the gentleman pretty much asked me that. He's like, you are so dynamic, and he's like, how do you maintain that? And I said, because being miserable sucks. Right. Yeah. Being miserable sucks. Like, I maintain my fitness because being out of shape sucks.
It does. Right? It really does.
It's like, I tell people, it's like most people don't know what they want. So I'm like, all right, cool. What do you no longer want? What will you no longer tolerate? It's like once you figure that out, and then once you make it bigger than yourself. Like, I tell people when they come into the gym, it's like, if you're someone who yo-yos, get a friend who's in worse shape than you to join with you, right? It sounds funny, but that friend is going to be dependent on you, and now you're going to feel more obligated to get into the gym. You know, like, I showed my mom earlier my alarm on my phone, right? So, I disable snooze. Right. So snooze is not an option, but nice. It's a video of me reminding me of my daily mission.
Okay.
Where it says, get up. You got lives to change. You got people who depend on you. Get out of bed and let's get to work. Like, those are the words that I wake up to.
That's huge. That's nice right there. Shoot. There you go. Talking about kicking your own butt right there.
Yep.
That's right, D. I'm hoping it's max volume, so one day you ain't used to not hearing it, and then you accidentally sleep through it. You ain't have one of those days, did you?
I believe it or not, I had one. But when I tell you, I work 7 days a week, and sometimes it's like anywhere from 10 to up to like 16 hours a day. So every now and then my body catches up and it's like, bro, you know, you might need to take a class off here and sleep in. But there was one, this was maybe 6 weeks ago where I slept right through it. But I'm human, you know, I'm human.
Yeah. And technically, I guess that was holiday season. So yeah, stuff, busyness.
Yeah.
So my goodness, man, shoot, so you got two shows now, huh? So what's the second show? You got Shut Up and Grind. What's the other podcast?
So I MC an event every year called the New England OCR Expo. So OCR is obstacle course race. For those people that don't know, I'm big into Spartan races. Uh-oh. So going back to being told I'd never run or jump again, that was in 2009. In 2011, I did my first obstacle course race. And I thought it was going to be my last one because I was never really into running. It's like, yes, I did track and field. Yeah, I did track and field, but I was a jumper primarily, and I did the 4x1 relay. I did the 4x4 once, about died. I was like, I'll never do it again. So it's like, I didn't really care for the up and down the hills at the time, but I did like the obstacles themselves. Right, I did like that, because going back to what I said earlier, I'm a competitor. So you see something, it's like, all right, how can I get through this? And so I quickly found another one, which was a couple weeks later. That one was less hilly, so it was a little more enjoyable. But then now I've done 191 obstacle races.
Oh,
done. And now when I hurt my knee, I hurt it at a track meet. So it took me a little longer, though. Like, I was 32. But it took me a little longer to get back onto the track because it happened during the high jump. And I was like, I didn't want it to pop again, because it was a bad injury. Just fortunately, you know, my body's resilient and we were able to come back from it. But finally in 2016, now this is a separate story for a different episode. You know, so in 2011, I donated a kidney to my sister. And so they have an Olympic style competition for living donors, for deceased donor families, and then recipients. So I was like, all right, so I'm a kidney donor now. Like, I'll make my first track meet at the transplant games. And I went there with no expectations. I said, I just want to go, get out there, clear a height or two, and be done. And I ended up winning the gold medal.
Nice. That's what I'm talking about.
Right? And now I'm undefeated since I've been back on the track.
Okay.
So I got undefeated. I have 16 gold medals. And I have 22 medals overall. And here in New England, I won the Masters Championship 6 years in a row. Okay. Now, I don't share that to brag or to try to flex. I share that to let your audience know, don't let people clip your wings. Okay? That doctor told me what he told me, but he doesn't know me. He doesn't know my will, right? He doesn't know my will. He doesn't know how resilient I am. He doesn't know what I'm willing to go through to get all the way back. And it's the same thing with you. If you have a goal, and there's always going to be some naysayer in your ear saying, you're crazy, you'll never pull that off, you're not this, you're not that. Only one that has to believe it is you. You're the only one. I got out here every day listening to my family tell me you're doing too much. Listening to the doctor tell me you're doing too much. The physical therapist telling me you're doing too much until I got it done. Right? Until I got it done.
My man said the doctor told me, but he don't know me.
That's hilarious.
It's true.
Yeah, he's like, yeah. One man's like, dude, you know what the B in Foster stands for? Freaking bold dang gummit. Straight indeed, I'm a genetic freak. I'm a cover. This is easy. I got this covered like a blanket.
I was like, if there's a 10% chance of full recovery, I'm going to be in that 10%. Like, that's just how my mindset works. And, like, to take it a step further, my sister, my other sister, I have four of them. But my sister, she had in 2016, she had a brain aneurysm burst while she was on the road. It was like one of the worst phone calls I ever received because I was teaching. And like, and my family knows, like they know my schedule. And it's like, don't call me when I'm teaching. So like my phone rings, it's my mom. And I was like, she knows better than that. And I send it a voicemail. So then she calls right back. And so, like, all right, something must be up, all right? So let me answer the phone. And just the sound of her voice just, like, shattered my soul. It's like, you know, that's a call that no mother wants to get. And we didn't know if she was dead or alive at this point. So talk about being nervous. But so we'll fast forward. We're up at the hospital now. And the surgeon comes down. And, you know, now I know surgeons deal with some gory, gory stuff, but some of them have the bedside manner of a rock, right? So, right, so here we are. I don't know if my sister's alive. My parents don't know if their daughter is alive. And her fiance and her kids don't know if their mom slash fiance is alive. And so this woman comes down just stone cold. And we're just like, 20% survival rate. I was like, 20%. All right. So all I heard is she's coming back. And that was all I heard. If there's 20%, she's coming back. You know, so like that's just how our family is wired. And here we go, going on 7 years later, and she's more than 7 years later, going on 9 years later, and she's still here. You know, she's still here. She has some limitations. So like she still has some partial paralysis in her left arm. Like she can walk, but with a cane, but she's still here. You know, she's still here. So whatever anyone is going through out there, you can beat it. You can get through it. Like I said, my mom just beat breast cancer. I came back from my knee. My sister survived a brain aneurysm. Right. If your mind is right, you don't put limits on yourself and you become emotionally bulletproof. You can get through anything.
Yes, indeed. Get through anything, indeed. That's what I'm talking about, indeed. If I heard you right earlier, you completed over 191 obstacle races, right? So is there going to be a big plan celebration for race number 200?
I don't know. It's like I was supposed to retire after 50. That was going to be like, I'm going to do 50 and I'm going to walk away. and then it was 100. Like, I still have the little penny because this race was a tough mutter. So, like they gave me little pennies. And I even wrote number 100 on the back, and that was going to be the last one. But herein lies the problem. So, at the gym, I always make things bigger than whatever their goals are. And so I take clients to the races, you know, and so I end up jumping it because I can't train them for the race and then not do it with them.
It's true. It's
like, all right, guys, 14 miles, you're on your own.
Good luck, buddy.
Yeah. So it's like I feel compelled. I mean, obviously, I still have my enjoyment of it. I said I love the challenge. I love to be in the pain cave and get through it. Especially the races that are on mountains. Like, it's hard. You're out there for hours. You have to train properly. You have to fuel properly. You have to hydrate properly. You got to balance your electrolytes. Like, it's a whole thing. It's not like you just get out there, do stuff, and then you go home. Like, it's a whole thing. And having my clients go through it, it expands their comfort zone. It's like, there's fears. Like, fears are real. That people have fear of heights. People have fear of unstable things. People have fear of claustrophobia because some obstacles, you're in tight spaces. And getting them out there and having them face these fears, it's like people become, they just become better, stronger versions of themselves from getting through the race. Going back to what I said, make it bigger than yourself. It's not just me going out to do a race. I'm actually taking people literally on a journey of self-discovery.
There you go. That journey of self-discovery, indeed. You love to see it. Well, speaking of discovery, I'm sure my man's probably discovered a gang of lessons from running, growing, and starting your magical Shut Up and Grind podcast, man. So what would you consider your top three lessons learned thus far from running it, man?
Top three lessons is, one, stop doubting yourself. Number two, you're stronger than you ever thought possible. And three, tell your story. Okay, your story matters. It doesn't have to be that you survived two heart attacks and a stroke, right? Like people think that their story has to be this big, outlandish thing, and it doesn't. The power in the story is in the outcome. For example, I was working with three women. We were on a group call. One of them did what I just described a second ago, but she survived a stroke and a heart attack at the age of 34. Ooh. I had the age of 34, so at a young age, right? Woman number two, when she was in her early 20s, she witnessed her high school sweetheart kill himself. And so woman number three, she's like, I can't compete with either of those. I was like, hey, it's not a competition. I was like, so what did you go through? So she and her family, they grew up in the city, you know, kind of on the lower income side. And then her father ended up landing a really good job. Actually, their family created fiber optics for Verizon.
They loaded them.
Yeah. So he landed a better paying job. You know, they moved to the suburbs, got a house, and she fell in love with nature because, you know, in the city, there's not always a lot of nature to be seen. And so she wanted to go back to urban schools and build learning spaces, like nature learning spaces. And I said to her, I was like, that is absolutely incredible what you want to do. Absolutely incredible. Like, you're going to give kids these experiences that they normally wouldn't get. I'm like, why are you downplaying that? And like, there is so much power. Like I said, this isn't a competition. Like, what this one went through was great. What this one went through, great. And like, and what you went through, that story is also great. And again, back to the book, it's like what this does. I said there's 13 worksheets in here, and it's going to take you from whatever you went through, and it's going to expand. And if you do it fully the way it's written, because there's parts where you record yourself, you know, telling your stories, answering these questions. And there are parts in there that seem repetitive, but that's how you build the resilience. Right. That's how you build the skill and the expertise. So like you're going to say that stuff over and over and over. I'm going to have you write it down. I'm going to have you write it down multiple times. That way, because you see, I don't have very many filler words because my story is defined. It's like I don't have to reach for the right word. And again, that's what makes me qualified to write this, because people always ask me, where'd you get your education from? I said, I lived. You know, I've been alive for 50 years. I've been through stuff, you know, so like I'm sharing the things that I've been through and how I got through it. Now, is how I got through it going to work for everyone? No, but this book is designed for you to find your lean. And what you do with the outcome of this is up to you. But at the end of the book, I also have a podcast pitch template. I guarantee to get people booked on at least 5 to 10 podcasts. Because, you know, I know people like you. Yes, friends. And from there, God knows what's going to happen. Like I said to you earlier before we went live, I spoke on a podcast earlier today. And at the end of the podcast, the guy offered me $1,000 to speak at his next event. So it's like, you don't know where these podcasts and where you sharing your story, where that's going to land you. So like I said, I didn't write this to just sell a book. You know how people always say, be the change you want to see? I want people to be more confident. I want people to believe in themselves and to chase after their dreams. Because society wants to keep you smart enough to work in the corporation job, right? Because all of those, Walmart needs workers. Target needs workers. The malls need workers, right? Amazon needs workers. Everything that the billionaires own need workers. So they're not going to teach you how to come outside of yourself and how to become that bright spot that you were designed to be, right? You were born for great things. And then society over time dumbs it down. So you're just smart enough to work in the factories. You know, and again, and I'm not knocking those people. They just don't know. Like, that's how they're conditioned from school age. So I did something like this to unlock another path for people. I'm only charging $20 for this book. I could take what's in here and do a $10,000 mastermind if I wanted to. But that's not what it's about. There's 8 billion people on this planet. And if I can help as many as possible find a different lane for their life, that's what this is for.
Yes, right, indeed. If you want that different lane, Rob's got you covered, baby. That's what I'm talking about, indeed. That's what I'm talking about, indeed, man. So, my goodness, so since the man's on the guest side of the game today, is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often when you're on guest mode, my man?
Well, people always ask me, how did I develop the mindset that I have? And a lot of it, believe it or not, growing up, like my dad was an engineer. And this dude could build anything, like anything, whether plumbing, electrical, carpentry, you know, paving a driveway, like no matter what it was, he could do it. He could do it. So first thing is the mindset. So I was born in Queens, New York. And so I guess when my mom, if I remember the story correctly, when my mom was pregnant with me, we were living in Brooklyn, but their apartment burned down. So they had to go into the projects in Queens, and they were like, nah, we're not about that project life. So my dad actually came up here to Rhode Island. He got a job building submarines at Electric Boat, and he was up here, I think it was like 6 months or so. And, you know, my mom would come up a couple of times a month, but like I said, I'm one of seven. So it's like, you know, she had to spend most of her time in New York. So my dad was able to save enough money, and they bought this house here in Charlestown, very rural area. Like, this ain't even suburban. This is rural, right? I live in the country. I bought an acre and a half of land or so, trees, woods, but it's quiet, good school system, friendly neighbors. Like, it's such a great place to live. But it was dad having the foresight to be like, we are not staying here. And I tell people, you're one decision away. People always say it's so hard. No, it's not. You're one decision away. No, people always say it's all in who you know. No, it's in who you ask. It's in who you there ask. You why am I on your show? Because I asked you. I was like, Dom, I'm an author now. Can we do this? Right? Like, I wasn't going to wait for you to see that I'm an author and then come and find me. Right? It's all in who you ask. Like, when I got the job coaching, I asked. I went up there and said, hey, you guys need anyone? There was no ad. Right? There was no ad in the paper. There was no posting on Facebook. I just went to the school and said, do you need a coach? And I started volunteer coaching. And then I texted one of my other coach friends. I was like, hey, you mentioned that there could be an opportunity here. Is the opportunity still there? And I'm now coaching there, being paid. Right? It's from asking. Like, you got to be proactive. Stop it with the limitations. Stop it with the self-doubt, with the this, with the that, pick an ism, pick an ist. Forget all of that stuff, right? Forget all of that stuff and figure out what you want. Find out who has it and then ask everyone until you get a yes.
Yeah, you're so right about that because, yeah, good old cliche. It's like, hey, ain't about what you know, it's who you know. It's like, yeah, you can know them, but you got to ask too because it's like, hey, you can know somebody, but they won't know nothing. Because you're so right. Like, I've had so many, like, guests, like, shoot, they may have guessed at one time on the show, and then I, like, follow their Amazon page or whatever, and then I get a notification, like, weeks after their new book is published saying it's out. And I'm like, dude, I could have helped you with the Google juice with the launch, man. Like, you should let me know, because technology is great, but sometimes the notifications don't notify you. And if they do notify, it's going to be late, so, yeah. So right about that, man. Like, you gotta ask folks, man.
Yeah, I pitched every news station here in Rhode Island. I haven't heard back yet. So, like, I was just telling my mom earlier, I'm going down there. I'm gonna walk in the door and be like, is the executive producer available? You know, have a copy of the book, talk about what I speak about. If you guys have any news pegs coming up and you need to feature these topics, I am your guy. All I need is 5 minutes. Like, you know, speaking on podcasts, a lot of people require like a 15-minute call to see if it's a vibe.
Oh, God, yeah.
I get booked within 3 minutes. And again, I'm not sharing that to brag. I'm well-versed in my stories. So people get on. Like, I was on one just yesterday. I mean, we were probably 90 seconds in, and she's like, you're in. Oh, you are in. So when you're well-versed, you can show up like that. Like, I went to a networking event at the Northern Rhode Island Chamber of Commerce. Now, mind you, I'm a fitness coach. Typically, I have a tank top on. Well, it's actually under, but it's cold, right?
So, yeah, this is Rhode Island. Yeah, I imagine it is cold.
You got the real winter up there, buddy.
For real. Yeah, so that's why I'm rocking the sleeves. So I go to this event, and I have my gym hoodie and my gym sweatpants. And everybody else was in suits, right? And you can cut the judgment with a knife, right? Oh, yeah. I walk in the door, and you can see all the up and down looks, right? By the end of that meeting, every single person asked me for my contact info. Every single one. So it's like, again, with the whole judging a book by its colors, like, one thing my dad said about race, he said, people will always see the color of your skin. He said, it's up to you to help him see past it.
There you go.
And I never forgot that. Because, like, I've walked into interviews because my name is Robert Foster. And I'm well-spoken, right? So it's not obvious. So I walked into interviews where I could tell the initial look was like, okay, they weren't expecting me.
Yeah, right? they're like, crap, he got through the zip code test too. Darn it.
That's great, the zip code test. Oh, that's hysterical. But then by the end of the interview, they're offering me a position. You know, so it's like, you can't defeat yourself over things. I say the same thing when my daughter was going off to college. I told her, I was like, look, I said, you're a mixed race female. I said, society is going to tell you that you're going to struggle. I said, society can go F themselves. All right. I said, you are in control of your path. I said, you don't need everybody to like you. You don't need everybody to accept you. You just need the right people. right? There's probably people in my circle that hate my guts, but they can't deny my value, right? There's probably people who come into my gym that wouldn't be caught with a person of color, right? Shame. But they can't deny the results that they're getting working with me. That's what it is, right? It's about whatever your talent is, whatever your value is to the world, focus on that. And then the people that don't resonate, don't mess with them. I have trolls online sometimes, like they'll say something. I just delete it. I don't even answer it. I don't even respond to it. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not wasting my energy on you, because so many people do that. They'll post something nice. Somebody will say something stupid. And then, yep. Then there'll be like a 30 comment thread going on with this person. Why are you even interacting with this person? It's like you got 100 people that are complimenting you and you're fighting with the one troll. Does that make any sense?
It's crazy how the brain works with that when it's like, yeah, I got all these great positive reviews, baby. One moron comes in, probably doesn't even mean what they're saying, just trying to get a rise out of you. And it's like, this idiot right here, let me get a peace of mind for like ever and ignore everybody else. Like, I mean,
and don't get me wrong, I understand how the algorithm works, right? So if it's not out of control, I'll engage, because I know more engagement is better. But if someone's just straight trolling, I'm like, nope, delete, block, done. Absolutely done.
Mm-hmm. It's true. It's true indeed. Well, fun question for you. Your fabulous, fabulous book, Shut Up and Grind, Overcoming Self-Doubt and the Fear of Public Speaking. If that book were a food, what would it be and why?
It would be caviar. It would be absolute caviar. And now I've never had caviar, but I picked that because caviar is like a delicacy. And people that don't even eat it, they know it's a delicacy. So this book, I've been through multiple speaker programs, and there is nothing that's this comprehensive. Nothing. Like, and I've spent thousands of dollars to know what I know. And like I said, I've been through multiple courses, because I don't ever put all of my eggs in one basket. Like, I want to learn from you. I want to learn from you. I want to learn from you. And then formulate my own opinion from everything that I've learned from everyone else. And so that's why I would call it caviar, because this is not just another learn how to speak book. This is literally a step-by-step journey of self-discovery.
There you go, y'all. That's right indeed. You get to open up your own treasure chest with this one, y'all. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. If you come out smelling fishy afterwards, you know what happened.
Hot mess.
Yeah, but don't worry. If you're hot while being a hot mess, it won't matter, right?
Fair enough.
We're solid.
You're on fire.
Well, we're coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive. And that is, if you don't wake up tomorrow and you are 25 again, but you're still in the current year, what advice would you give to yourself?
So have you connected with Shay Brown?
How does that name sound from? It rings a bell, but I don't think we connected yet.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wait a second. Oh, C-H-E as in Shay, right?
Yes.
That's Shay Brown. Yeah. Funny enough, I think he lives in D.C. I think he's like 30, 45 minutes away from me.
Oh, really?
I've met him before. He's a good dude.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, so he filmed a docuseries on me. And I think it was the third question they asked me, what would you say to your 21-year-old self? And the answer I gave, I know you said 25, but I'm still going to give the same answer. What I said, I would say, don't change a thing, because everywhere that I've gotten, all of this stuff had to happen. But what I want you to focus on is financial literacy. I say, because you're going to blow a lot of money in your 20s. And I want you to learn about investing, about stocks and trading. I want you to learn about credit, and I want you to learn about real estate. I was like, you do those four things, and then when you get to my age, you're going to be balling. You're going to be balling. So, because I spend a lot of money at like Dave and Buster's, eating out, you know, just blinging myself out with the clothes, and I had rings and chains, you know, trying to showcase the lifestyle. But no, I want you, like, whatever, like the path I took, take the same path. You know, you're gonna manage restaurants. Like, maybe you'll get out of it a little sooner and get into fitness sooner. But fitness is your love. Like, you're going to love that. But we stayed in the restaurant so long because we didn't have that financial literacy. Because my generation was told, if you don't go to college, you're not going to amount to anything. Uh-huh. Right? And yeah. I dropped out of college 3 times. So, right? I said, so keep on the same path. I said, maybe get into fitness a little sooner. I said, but other than that, get your finances right.
Woohoo! Get your finances right. Get that money right. Keep it tight. That's right indeed. There you go. That good old financial fitness, y'all. That's right indeed. Make sure your wallet has 6-pack abs.
You and these one-liners.
That's right. Sometimes they all combine to make a conga line.
Oh my God.
That's right. Danced in your brain. That's right indeed. You wake up in the morning with a corn cob next to your desk, and you're like, shoot, where does corn cob come from? It's like, oh, Don was being corny again. Now I remember.
That's a whole hot mess again. Oh, God.
Well, before children try to find the cornfield, folks need to keep up with you and all that you do with bad. So for those who need to do just that and cop some copies of your magical books, because I know this is only the beginning for you, what's the best way for folks to do so?
So shutupandgrindbook.com. That'll take you right to the direct Amazon link. So shutupandgrindbook.com. And I have also I have a free giveaway on my website. Now, my website's being worked on, so don't judge it yet if you go there soon. But it's robertbfoster.com. And I have a free worksheet, and the worksheet is directly from the book. So you can get a sneak preview of how the book is set up. But it's on prioritizing yourself without the guilt.
There you go. So I'm talking about, dude. Sounds like that high five right there. Prioritize yourself without the gift, with the guilt, y'all. Don't do it. Save them guilt trips for the freaking planes, y'all. That's right, indeed. That's right. Put the guilt on the plane, not yourself. That's right, indeed. Although if you had a destination of mind and the guilt goes there and you don't, then the guilt will stay with you, so you know.
Real. So true. I know a lot of moms struggle with that.
Oh yeah, the mom guilt, yeah. That's right indeed. Yes indeed, yes indeed. But hey, it's all good in the neighborhood. So you heard that right, folks. Man, Rob's got you covered like a blanket, y'all. Gonna pull a link to all of his goodies in the show notes. Then we can head over to his wonderful website, join the magical movement, and keep up with all that he's doing, as well as cop some copies of his magical book. That's right, indeed. And keep up with him, indeed, because he's only just starting. And be sure to subscribe to his podcast as well, because he's got a whole treasure trove of content, y'all. That's right, indeed. My man definitely... it's the definition of grind. He is the picture in the Pictionary when you look up the word grind, y'all. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. If you're looking for gears, nah, man, he just be grinding, baby. That's right indeed. It's like Lil Boosie when he spits a verse on the track and he goes to spelling bee with it. He'd be like, we the best, baby. That's right indeed. That's Rob B. Foster right there, baby. That's right indeed. Well, any parting words before we close up shop, my man?
So all the final words I always give, it's about... you. I want you to focus on you. What do you want? More importantly, what do you no longer want? No, and I'll use fitness as an example. When people come in, they're like, I don't really have a goal. I just want to get healthy. I was like, all right, well, what are you running from? It's like, well, you know, when I go upstairs, I get winded easy, or my cholesterol is 5 points too high, borderline type 2 diabetic. All right. So these are things that you don't want. So use that to inspire you. I don't like using the word motivate. Inspire you, because motivation is something that can be blamed. Because people can say, oh, well, I'm not motivated. And I want you to shift that into discipline. So know what you want. Give yourself an action plan. stick to the plan. Now, we're humans, right? Can we veer off the plan every now and then? Of course we can. But get right back on. Revisit your goals. Revisit what you want. Like on my lock screen now, it's got a picture. I don't think you can see it, but it's got a picture of the book cover to remind me, no, everywhere I go, talk about the book. Before that, it was a picture of me with my 5 gold medals from the 2018 Transplant Games. And it reminded me on those days when I don't want to, it's like, boom, there's your reminder. You know, so again, I live everything that I talk. I live it. And I want you to live the best possible version of your life. If you're there now, if you're content where you are, then this isn't for you. But if you're that person that you know you want more, you can do more, and you can be more, chase it. Because when you chase it, you're going to see the opportunities waiting for you.
If you're hearing this part of the episode, that means you're one cool individual. Thanks a bunch for tuning in, and if you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to share it with at least one other person in your network. Bonus points for 3, and be sure to check out the backlog too while you're at it, because there are hundreds of wonderful episodes to choose from as well.